we get the hour underway by welcoming to the show and right here to the studio, the very talented artist, cartoonist, Maine native, Glenn Chadbourne, joining us in studio. Glenn, great to have you here with us.
And great to be here. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You made the journey up to see Firestarter tonight.
I did. Yeah.
That's
nice. Read the book when I was a wee sprat. You know?
I remember, I don't think I went to the premiere when it was down at the Bangor Opera House, but I remember all the buzz because they were all a little Drew Barrymore was in town and all of them.
Drew was there and... oh, God, I'm trying to think of the famous director there. I think, it was a whole boatload of stars, pomp and circumstance. And it was, it was a big deal, as well it should be.
And if some of those recent remakes are any indication, some of them, like It, that was better than the original version. So they've been doing a good job with these.
Hell on Wheels, And a lot of Netflix stuff has been really good, and a lot of miniseries like Chapel Wait, which is actually Jerusalem's Lot, that was a big hit. That was on Epix, and The Outsider was on HBO. That was fantastic, I thought.
All right, well, let's talk about you and your background. You grew up in Damariscotta, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And when did the talent emerge? How old were you when you first knew that you could create some pretty cool stuff?
About the age I could hold a crayon, I was an only child, and there weren't any kids around to play with, so I just, I always drew since I was a little kid.
Well, fellow only child here, and I have an only child. There are some advantages to that, and one of them is you've got to have a pretty good imagination to entertain yourself, right?
Yeah, I was in imaginative territory from a young age. Yes.
All right. So, when did you gravitate to what we would, I guess, for lack of a better term, call the creepy side of things?
I'm pretty stereotypical as far as horror folk go. There was a mom and pop store down the street from my house.
Rights. Am I correct?
Rights. Yeah. Store. Yeah. You're right. Jesus, no dust on you, man. That's going way back. And my father used to take me down there on Sundays. Excuse me. And once a month, the new horror comics and zines would come out, like Creepy and Eerie and Vampirella and Famous Monsters of Filmland, and also the EC comics, Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror. And so I pawed through those as a kid, and a switch clicked, and I said, well, this is pretty cool, I'm home. So I started to kind of draw my own EC style comics, and from there on it kind of grew, and I submitted a lot of stuff as a fairly young age, high school, and I got a basket full of rejection letters and whatnot, like most of us do. And time went on, and in my early 20s, I self-published a couple of comics. And back in those days, it was there were a lot of markets, Friendly Franks and all these distributors. Before it got gobbled up by Diamond Comics, which is an 800-pound gorilla in the comic business, and they bought all the markets up. But before that, you could send your stuff out, and they would blurb it, and they would advertise it in a big catalog, and then you'd have an idea of how many copies you could make. And so I spent a grand and made a grand, but I got my stuff out there. So,
what was your favorite as a kid?
My favorite comic?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I have to paw around in my head for that. There were some really eerie and creepy magazines. Had some great stories and some really creepy artwork and stuff. And those, I would have to say, those are my favorites. They were really well done. And, they freaked me out as a kid, so.
And eerie and creepy were a little bit before I ever got into comics. But those were a combination of, they weren't just straight comics, or were they?
No, they were comics, but it was a magazine format. It was the old Warren magazines. Okay, Warren owned Creepy, Eerie, Vampirella, Famous Monsters of Filmland. But they were really, what got me was the art was tremendous. And the stories went right along with it. So it was, they were well put together. And they, you know, a lot of them stayed with me to this day. I mean, I can remember a couple of stories that, you know, really gave me the creeps for years, which is their job. So I guess they pulled it off. So.
How did you get together with Rich Chismar?
Well, this is like I say, I submitted a lot of stuff for years and years. And some of the stuff that I submitted was the Cemetery Dance and other various magazines and publishers. And, you know, the stuff would sit in slush piles. They have mountains of this stuff. Mm. It never really got seen. And so I met, at the time, this was in the 80s, I met Rick Howdler, and he was Maine's other kind of horror guy.
Right.
And nice guy. And he worked at a Borders bookstore, and I used to swing in there over by the Maine Mall. And I got to know him, and, you know, we got chummy, and I showed him some of my stuff, and he really liked it. And he was involved with Rich putting together an anthology called Bedbugs, a short story. So he said, well, draw me a few things, and, you know, and we'll send them down with these stories. And lo and behold, Rich loved them and, you know, published the stories. And from there, you know, I became more and more familiar with Rich, and we became friends, and he liked my stuff, and I loved Cemetery Dance. So it went from there, and it grew, and, you know, over time.
And that led to the connection with Stephen and with the radio stations and all of that.
That made my bones, I did a lot of stuff for them. And then I met Marcia, Steve's old assistant, PA, personal assistant. I used to go to a lot of the conferences, horror writers conferences, and I used to go to one in Rhode Island, NECON. That's a Northeastern Writers Convention and stuff. And I met Marcia down there when she was working at the office. And she was a sweetie pie, you know. We hit it off, and we became friendly and whatnot. So, you know, she was a good friend. And then, but what led to Steve, the stuff with Steve, was Rich and I had the idea of just asking him if he could ever think about doing a graphic novel with some short stories. And I was, you know, intimidated all to hell, but I said, well, sure. I said, doesn't hurt to ask. And I figured he had half the world asking him for this or that. But we each wrote a letter, Rich Chismar and I, and I sent up some samples of my art, and Steve went for it. So thus began the Secretary of Dreams.
And here we are all those years later.
And I'm still stivering along.
Yeah, the connection's stronger than ever. You brought in a beautiful piece today. Can you tell us about that?
Well, that would be Dougie Graves, the closest thing I can ever say about giving birth. When Bobby Russell was here, he wanted to come up with a new sort of look for the station, a mascot, so to speak. So I went to work and did a few preliminary sketches, and he liked Dougie, and I liked Dougie, so Dougie came to life, and we went from there.
That's fantastic. We're talking with Glenn Chadbourne here on Downtown. So are you at the point now, Glenn, where I have to assume people reach out to you? It's not the other way around. They're like, well, could we get you to add some of your talents to what we're doing?
I'm busy.
Well, bad.
Which is good. So, you know, and it's dream come true stuff, really. It's all I can say. It's, I mean, you know, the hell else could I do? I used to hang drywall. I didn't like that very much.
One of the things that you do, and I don't know if you still are actively doing them, but I know in the past you've done commissions, commission work, including the ones that I found incredibly interesting, the Family Ghoul portraits.
I'm doing some as we speak.
Which is just a great idea.
Cemetery Dance, Rich Chismar's publication, you know, company, they advertised me as haunting your house or your pet or zombifying couples. Yeah, I've got half a dozen of them I'm doing right now. So it's actually one of my favorite gigs.
And you've done some murals, too.
I'm doing a mural right now, too. As a matter of fact, I do it all. Wow. I'm a blue-collar artist, man. You know.
Now, do you do anything digitally, or is it all by hand?
I'm old school. I'm old as time. You know, I just sit there with a pen in my hand or a paintbrush and slosh it around till it looks good to me and, you know, take it from there.
Where's the inspiration come from?
Well, it just kind of drips out of my head, you know. I mean, guy asked me where I got my ideas one time. And I said, well, it was a fella I know. I got his number. He's an idea guy. And I call him on Monday. But no, you know, I mean, they give me, when I illustrate stories for books, I will get, which is one of the perks of the job, I'll get the stories in advance. Like if it's a book of short stories.
So you get the manuscript, right?
I get the manuscript.
That's got to be so cool.
That is very cool. So I can sit there, you know, chew through these stories and go, well, you know, a hatchet for this or a ghost for that. And so, you know, it's one of the perks of the job. So that's...
And do you find that when you're doing that, you're able to get inside the writer's head and capture the vision they want? Or I can't imagine very often people come back and go, nah, Glenn, that's not what I had in mind at all.
It's scary in those heads. It's a tight spot, you know, for all through the years.
A lot of cobwebs in there, right?
Yes, right. But yeah, of course, I know a lot of these guys too. And, you know, everybody's got their different strengths and their different, you know, sort of recipe of things. But that's the funnest part of the job, is to be able to read the stuff in advance and mull it over. And, you know, and then I'll, you know, a lot of times I'll bat different ideas off people and get their take. Mm. So, yeah. But and it's a dream come true job. I mean.
And you're doing now also some editorial cartoons for the Lincoln County News?
35 years.
Yeah. Cartoon for so how is that different, or is it different at all?
Well, for one thing, you know, they hold the brakes back. They hold the reins on me. I can't, you know, I have to, it's kind of a family outfit. So, but I do some, you know, I try and do some, we have a new editor and I try and be a little deeper about these cartoons, especially with all the current hell going on in the world and stuff. You know, I did a couple pieces on, Ukraine, which is just heartbreaking. So I try and do a few more serious pieces about stuff, and other stuff is, you know, if it's a boring week, it's just fluff pieces. But I've been with them for a long time, so it's a mom and pop newspaper. Not many of them left.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, kind of like mom and pop radio stations. There aren't many of us left either.
Yeah, but you guys rule the galaxy. I, you know, I sing your praises wherever I go.
What do you think? What do you think the 8-year-old Glenn would have thought of the journey this is taking you on all these years?
Well, I don't believe he would have ever quite grasped it. You know, it's nobody's more surprised than me and humbled by it. Actually, I'll say it till the cows come home. I'm just very, 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 very lucky, and I'm very lucky to have met the people I've met and get to do what I love. You know,
well, that's the best thing. Not many people get to do that in life and to keep those opportunities going and for a long, long time and always have new opportunities on the horizon.
That's right.
And that's pretty awesome.
Could have still been hanging that drywall.
Right.
One of the recent projects you had was the 40th anniversary of Cujo, the 40th anniversary release. How is it different going back to something that's so well known like that?
Well,
and, you know, already has so many cultural.
That was, you talk about dream come true stuff. And for more than one reason, I love dogs. What I did was I reread the book. I'd read it to rags when I was a kid. It's one of my favorites. But I, you know, I went back and I grabbed an old copy of the book and checked and, you know, went through it again. And I tried to. There's a lot of soul in that book. It's a tough book because I can't remember at the time. I don't think anybody ever really before him did the story through the eyes of the dog. And the dog is a monster in one point, but he's also such a tragedy, you know, because it's not his fault. Mm. My wife Sheila actually for a wedding present she bought me a bust of. A stained glass bust with the last line in Cujo. I'm telling you so you know, old blue's gone where the good dogs go. Mm. And it makes me messed up. So that was an absolute, you know, I mean, words can't describe how happy I was to do that. And I tried my damnedest to really pull everything I had out of me in it. And it was a labor of love. Mm. And Pete Crother published that, PS Publishing in England. And he's a sweetheart.
I mean, it's a beautiful edition.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's something to put on my stone. I really like doing it. And, you know, it went over well. And you know, dream come true stuff once again.
Not that they've ever gone away, but boy, it seems to be like a pretty good era right now for comic books, stronger than it's been in a long time.
Yeah. Comics, magazines. You know, it's strange. Ever since Corona came along, I have been upside down busy. And I think because people were penned up at home, buying more books, buying more DVDs, CBDs, you know, checking out the tube or whatever. And we were all enclosed in our own space, penned up. And
forced to slow down a little
forced
bit.
Forced to slow down and read.
Which, comics and books, that's what you need. You need time to really... Yeah. Digest them.
Well, yeah. and the things that make you feel comfortable. And I think I caught an interview you did when you talked about how the creepy stuff, that's your comfort zone.
It is. Yeah.
And we come back to that.
Send him to the psychiatrist when he was a child. You know? But no, you know, yeah, that's why how I attribute, you know, this recent few years of really, really being busy is, you know, interest came up, more interest in books and, you know, things that you do at your home. So
nothing wrong with that.
Wrong with that.
Glenn, it's great to have you here. We appreciate you stopping by this afternoon. We're huge fans of the work. As always, we wish you continued success. And anytime you're in the area, stop on by.
Well, I thank you very, very much. And I love you guys. Love this station. You know, you play it without the brakes on, man, anything you want, you know? And it's nice to talk to you. And, we're going to go to the flicks and see how they pulled off Fireside.
Yeah, look forward to hearing about it. Thanks so much. Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And you can check out, what's the website, Glenn, if people want to go visit?
www.glennchadbourne.com.
Pretty simple right there.
Google me up, too.
See what's going on. Glenn Chadbourne with us on Downtown.